Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 2. When Matt showed up at the airport a couple of hours later, he was carrying an overnight bag and his laptop, but not much else. It was his first assignment as a detective, and he had no idea what to bring along, except for clean socks and underwear. He didn't own a gun, and had never fired one in his life, so he hoped he wouldn't need to carry weapons on the trip, but he wasn't sure what to expect. The trip also meant he would miss the game night with Brian, Chong, and Wolf, and he felt slightly guilty, but Brian had at least sounded like he understood. This was, after all, work. It wasn't like he was just going to Vegas to sit by the pool, even though he had packed his swim trunks, just in case. The private jets didn't fly from the main terminal. Instead, Matt followed the directions Mercedes had texted him and finally found a rather small gate with a Learjet parked outside. Mercedes stood outside, wearing sunglasses and talking on her cell phone. When he came closer, she waved at him and gestured for him to go up the stairs to the entrance door. He did, ducking his head to go through, and felt his own jaw drop when he looked around the cabin. Andrew was already seated in a large leather seat that most of all looked like one of the Lazy Boy recliners Jim had in the living room in his house. The cabin was kept in a mix of gold and brown wood, with golden edges to everything. The tables had gold leaf inlay, the curtains were golden, and even the little minibar at the end looked like it was made of gold.
"Who owns this plane?" he asked Andrew.
"Donald Trump?"
"No, the hotel does. The Windy City is made to look like the gangster era, so everything's a little too much." Andrew stretched in his seat.
"Comfortable, though, I must say. I flew on private jets a few times when I was with the FBI, but I can tell you, none of them were as nice as this one."
Matt sat down and looked out the window. He could see Mercedes walking back and forth around the foot of the stairs, still talking.
"What's she doing?" he asked.
"Talking to her boyfriend, but I wouldn't ask her about it. They're having some problems right now, so let's let her have her privacy. It's not like we're going to take off before she's on board anyway." Outside, Mercedes had to raise her voice more than she would like for this kind of call, but the sound level on the airport tarmac was high enough to almost require shouting. She would have preferred to stay inside the plane, but when Andrew had arrived, she had decided to go outside and make the call. Unfortunately, Charlie had not picked up his phone, and all she had gotten was his voicemail.
"Charlie, I'm so sorry. I haven't picked up when you called. It wasn't nice of me, but I don't even know anymore. I didn't want to talk to your voicemail. I wanted to talk to you. Anyway, I'm flying to Las Vegas for a job with Andrew and Matt. Oh, you don't know Matt, but he's our newest employee. I'm not sure when I'll be back. It all depends on what's going on down there, but I'll let you know when I get back. I guess we have some things to talk about."
She hesitated, wanting to say something kind, something loving, but couldn't bring herself to say "I love you" to a machine.
"I miss you," she finally said, and hung up. If he had picked up, you could have said it, and he could have said, "I love you too," she thought. "He would. I'm sure he would. That's what he said every other time I told him I loved him. But what if he said I don't, or I want to end it, or I want you to go take a flying fuck at a rolling donut?
Well, no use thinking about it now, Nina.
She put her phone in her pocket, took a deep breath, and put her smile on.
Okay, Vegas. Here we come,
she said out loud before heading up the stairs to the cabin. The trip was uneventful, if you can use that word about an hour and a half spent in a millionaire's dream world. Mercedes and Andrew both had drinks from the snappily dressed stewardess, dressed like a cigarette girl from a 1920s nightclub. But Matt had to settle for a soda. They all got a surprise when, asked his age, he told them he hadn't turned 21 yet.
We didn't think about that, Mercedes said, biting her lip. You're going to have problems in Vegas. I mean, technically, you're not even allowed to be inside the casino.
I think we'll be okay, Andrew said. After all, Daniel and his people did call us in. Just don't hang around the slot machines or blackjack tables or order a drink at the bar.
I won't, Matt grumbled. Stupid law. In Australia, you can drink when you're 18.
I'm not saying everyone in the U.S. adheres to the law, Andrew said. I've seen my share of drunken parties in high school. But this is Las Vegas, and they're a bit stricter than most. If you're caught gambling in a casino when you're underage, the Gaming Commission could shut down the Windy faster than you could blink. Let's just keep it on the down low, and maybe it won't be a problem.
It was a clear day, and most of the way south, they had a wonderful view of the ground below. When they began entering the Nevada desert and the view was mostly white sand, Andrew looked at Mercedes.
So, how much did he tell you about what their problem is?
Not a lot. He said it was important we came, that the casino apparently is in massive trouble and bleeding money, and that they're considering closing and firing everyone.
Well, that's serious enough. There must be several thousand working at a place like that.
Exactly. But he wouldn't say what the specific problem was on the phone. He said he'd brief us when we got there.
Eventually, the jet descended and touched down. Matt kept his face to the window during the trip down, pointing out at the strip, which was visible through his window.
Wow! It's amazing! The pyramid and the castle. And look, there's the Wynn! I saw pictures of that when it opened. They have a world-class art museum.
Andrew smiled at him, remembering his own first trip to the Neon City and how he had reacted almost the same way. They landed smoothly, and the jet rolled to a stop at a small hangar outside McCarran Airport. Outside, on the ground, they spotted a black limousine waiting.
Is that for us?
Mercedes said as she got up to grab her bag.
I think so, unless Daniel plans to have us walk to town.
Andrew picked up his own bag and was right behind her. They all descended the steps together, thanking the stewardess and the pilot on the way. The door to the limousine opened, and Daniel Ross got out. His dark hair almost sparkled in the bright desert sunlight as he raised his hand in greeting.
Welcome back,
he said, walking toward them and shaking hands with all three.
I don't believe we've met.
He looked at Matt, cocking his head.
Daniel Ross, Assistant Chief of Security.
Matthew Boyle. Nice to meet you.
He's our newest employee, Mercedes said. Jim couldn't make it, but we're here and we're happy to help.
I hope what he's doing is important, Daniel said, because this is extremely high priority for us. Please, get in the car and I'll explain on the way to the hotel.
He opened the door to the limo, letting them inside, and then leaned into the driver's seat window.
Back to the Windy, he said to the driver. The back entrance. But take your time. I'm going to be running a little story hour in the back.
Will do,
the driver replied, lifting one finger to his cap in a little mock salute. Daniel got in and closed the door behind him. There was plenty of space in the large car, and they all looked at him.
Okay, he said. You all know how a Vegas casino works, I'm sure.
People come there to gamble and lose money? Mercedes said.
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's exactly how a casino works. The hotel, the restaurants, the shows, those are just icing on the cake, which is why we give out so many comps to the guests. We want our guests to stay on the lot and keep them gambling so they can lose money. If they start winning, we get them off the floor with a gift of some kind, so it doesn't turn into a winning streak. It's cynical, but that's how it is.
Now, imagine a casino where nobody lost, where everybody wins all the time. What would that be like?
It would be great for the customers and a disaster for the owners, Matt said.
Right again. Now, three for three. What do you think is happening at the Windy right now?
Since you've flown us all the way here, Andrew said, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that something supernatural is making your guests win big.
Bingo! Three in a row.
The car turned out of the airport and headed down the broad road towards the strip.
It started about a week ago, Daniel said, leaning back in the car seat while looking around at them. At first, we thought it was just a fluke, you know, random chance wins. Then we began to suspect cheaters.
My boss is pretty old-fashioned, and he likes to spot cheaters by eye instead of using all the technology we've got in the control room.
He spent almost a day staring at the people winning constantly, but couldn't find anything wrong. We analyzed the tapes, we changed dealers, did everything, and still people kept winning. At first, it was just in craps and blackjack, but it spread.
You make it sound like a disease, Andrew said.
That's exactly what it is. Games where you can't cheat began to pay out constantly. Roulette, bingo, slots, keno, you name it and people won it. Within 2 days, we were down the profit for the entire quarter.
Daniel ran a hand through his hair.
Frankly, we have no idea what to do. Right now, we've closed the casino, but running the hotel like that for more than a couple of hours will hurt us just as much. The casino's our main revenue stream, and people fly in specifically to gamble with us. If they can't do that, they'll go to another casino, and we'll lose even more money. You see the problem here?
But what exactly is it you want us to do? Mercedes said. This isn't some movie where we can wave our proton guns around and trap a casino ghost in a trap. We deal with supernatural things, but we don't exactly destroy it.
I beg to differ, Daniel said. You killed a supernatural guy pretty dead last time you were here.
Look, I didn't know who else to call. If we don't do something, we'll close the resort down and everyone will lose their jobs. I don't want that to happen if I can help it.
What does your boss say about us being here?
He doesn't know. He's gone up to Los Angeles to talk to the owner and the board. I'm expecting they will give him some kind of instructions, but...
Daniel shrugged.
No matter what, their focus is on the bottom line and not the people.
Can't really blame him for that, Andrew said.
No, but I want to do something for the staff if I can. That's why I called you.
So please, guys, help me out. See what you can do. If anyone can, it's you.
Daniel looked at his watch, then out the window.
Okay, nearly there. I'll set you up in a couple of comped rooms, but let's go to the casino first and get your first impressions.